step down so that it's the river and the waterfront park that one notices rather than this whacking great building.
So I guess, yeah, I just want to add, I mean, I've listened to both your both arguments, and I guess when I think about that stretch of the Willamette River, or that a stretch of downtown down there, it's, you know, it's, to me, it's one of the most derelict stretches of downtown we have. We have restaurants that change ownerships every year because they can't survive. We have dimly lit buildings. We have unattractive buildings. And I guess I wonder if we keep the height at 75 feet, are we, you know, I think the point's about, are we ever going to succeed in activating the waterfront? Because the challenges are daunting with that site, as we all acknowledge, and you're probably not going to overcome those challenges with a 75-foot height maximum. So I guess I'm inclined to sort of support what Joe is saying. You may need that height in order to catapult or, yeah, catapult some sort of development there at the bridgehead.
Any further conversation before I call the question? Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz?
This amendment is very important to me. Aye.
Fish?
This is a close call, and I appreciate the discussion. But the more I think about it, I do believe that the more important component here is activating this site, creating some vitality, taking some chances. And while I'm no fan of the Burnside Bridgehead building on the east side, I'm not opposed to the idea of creating an iconic location. Again, close call, but I'm going to respectfully vote no on the amendment.
Saltzman?
No.
Udaly?
No.
Wheeler?
No. The amendment fails. New Chinatown, Japantown height. That's amendment item 18. Rachel?
So this amendment increases building heights on four blocks in the north in the new Chinatown Japantown historic district from 125 feet to 160 feet, as shown on your map here in the gray shaded area. So the two maps that are provided, the one on the left is what is in the recommended draft at 125 feet for those four blocks. The Mayor Wheeler, your amendment on the table is to increase the height to 160 on those four blocks.
Yeah, and that's still a decrease from the 350-foot heights that exist today. And obviously those height limits predate the creation of the historic district. So that's one of the things I'm taking into account with this amendment. And I think it brings our regulations into alignment with the original objectives of the historic district. By way of comparison, the 160-foot height of the Pacific Tower, which is right next door, I think provides us with a solid basis both from a planning and a legal perspective in terms of setting the heights on these four blocks at the 160-foot level. And it's my understanding from the staff analysis that the full base and bonus FAR utilization is possible at a height of 160 feet, which makes it more compelling. I don't know if there's other thoughts from my colleagues.
I have a question.
Commissioner Udaly.
So as we've heard before, our Chinatown-Japantown Historic District is small and somewhat vulnerable. So my main concern with this amendment is whether or not it may imperil the historic designation and therefore cause the rest of the properties to lose their status and tax abatement or reduction.
So I thank you. I think that's a good question. I think that one point I would make is that the for our historic districts, the Landmarks Commission they're kind of the gatekeeper for these districts and reviewing and approving projects. And I think the Landmarks Commission will monitor the heights in these districts, and if there's a potential for unraveling of the district, they would look at that closely as they consider the heights. And in this particular case, this reduction, the heights that exist today in the district can go to 325. So the 160 is still quite a decrease in height, and there is a building that is within the district, the Pacific Tower at 160, and we have also, through this project, in the East Grand Avenue Historic District on in Centrally Side, the proposal is for the heights up to 160. So we are also trying to be consistent in that approach.
Didn't the Landmarks Commission ask us not to do this?
I think so.
That is correct. The Landmarks Commission, in their testimony, did feel that the 160 was still high.
And I think they've asked us specifically to, again, have truth in zoning, because it's very difficult for them to say no to applicants when they come in and they say, well, we're allowed to do this. What's the height of the tallest contributing property in the district right now?
That's a good question. I'm going to ask if Brandon is here. Yes, Brandon will have these answers.
Thank you.
Mayor, Commissioners, Brandon Spencer Hartle, Historic Resources Program Manager at Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. The tallest contributing building in the district is the Prosper Portland building, which is around 80, 85 feet in height, and that is just south of Everett.
So this would be double the height of that?
That's right.
Do you have any other thoughts from the Landmarks Commission?
So one thing I will say is that Council adopted in October new design guidelines to be used in this historic district. The guidelines don't specify the height as a standard. They do talk about relationship with existing buildings. And so the commission, regardless of what height you set, will be looking at a site-specific response for new infill development. They do have the review authority to deny a project, which could bring it to this body on appeal for a broader discussion about where, you know, the concern about unraveling the district may come from.
Can I make a comment? One thing about this one that just at an equitable level I feel bad about is that you have a property owner that's covered by what we're about to do. It's a long-term owner of a piece of property and a family that's done a lot for our community, who as a result of this action is going to see the maximum height on a piece of property that's held over time cut in less than half. And there may be no way around this, given the balance of maintaining the integrity of the historic district and the absence of and other comparators. But I don't want us to lose sight of the fact that someone who has purchased and retained for a long time a piece of property that, as of right, could have been developed to twice the height that we're proposing here, is going to take about a 55% haircut. And I appreciate all the arguments about context and historical districts and all the things we're trying to balance, but I also have to say I'm sympathetic to someone who has just seen essentially a nest egg and something that he's invested in over the time significantly reduced in value because of what we're doing. So I don't want to lose track of that part of this.
And if I may, Commissioners, one of the considerations that we had in all of the historic districts was the existing floor area ratio on the properties. And so what we didn't do is to lower heights so far that one could not use their base, and in many cases the bonus FAR on the site, thinking that in the future there may be further opportunities for refinement or review of specific districts. In this specific case, at the 125-foot height level, we believe that the property owner could use their base height. At the 160-foot level, they could use their base and their 3-to-1 bonus height. So we thought about what the existing FAR entitlement, in addition to the height entitlement, was for specific sites, recognizing that we have a floor area transfer program, and if we set the height so high that one may transfer FAR in from other places, that sets up a dynamic that the Landmarks Commission is concerned about. And for those contributing buildings, which there are many of north of Everett, property owners can transfer their floor area ratio off of the building to somewhere else.
Any further questions on this item before I call the question? Please call the roll, Carla.
Fritz?
No.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaley?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is adopted. Next item, view of the Vista Bridge. This is Amendment 21 in the Amendments Report. This is Southwest Jefferson Street and Southwest 14th Avenue, the view of the Vista Bridge and the West Hills. Mindy, do you want to tee us up on this?
Sure, thank you. The amendment before you is to not increase the heights along the north side of Southwest Jefferson Street and maintain the existing heights of 30 to 45 feet. The map on your left shows the recommended draft heights that increase the height, and the draft on your right is the proposed amendment to retain the heights there.
Commissioner Fritz?
Well, the Goose Hollow Foothills League is not happy with this. They don't feel it goes far enough. I think this is a good compromise.
Very good. Any further questions before I call the question? Oh, we lost Nick. Nick, did you have any other questions on this before I call the question?
Yes, I want to make sure I understand the location of this particular property. What's the proximity of this piece of property to the MAC stop?
These properties along here are directly adjacent to the MAC light rail stop.
So, and again, let's put aside the question of the view corridor. Our current policy is to encourage development along the MAC line. Is that correct?
That's right. Jefferson Street is designated as a commercial corridor.
And across from the Goose right now, the Goose Hollow Inn, there's a significant multifamily development to the
Kitty
north.
Corner, yeah.
And this would allow for further development of multifamily housing down that stretch.
That's
which
correct.
Which is adjacent to that to the MAC stop.
Correct. There.
Okay, thank you.
Please call the roll, Carla.
Fritz.
Aye.
I'm sorry, the amendment would do what?
To be clear, this is the Amendment 21 in the Amendments Report, Southwest Jefferson Street at 14th Avenue, the view of the Vista Bridge and the West Hills.
And so what would 20, the amendment 21. Would do what?
It would it would keep the heights at 30 to 45 feet.
No. Okay, I'm sorry. It's a long day. No.
That's not accurate. I thought it's from 35 to 40 feet up to 75.
The recommended draft is to increase the height to 75 feet, and the amendment before you is to keep the heights at 35 to 45 feet.
Ah, thank you. Okay.
My vote is still no.
Got it.
Saltzman?
No.
Udaly?
No.
Wheeler?
No. The amendment fails. Next up, River Place. Amendments 7, 10, and 12.
One moment.
Do-do-do. Yes.
So,
legal counsel.
Thank you for your patience and also for inquiring further. So what the city code actually says, which is different than Robert's rules, is that once a motion's on the table, the mover can withdraw the motion. And so the mayor withdrew his motion, and now Commissioner Fritz can make a new motion to put it back on the table, but does need a second to put it back on the table.
Oh, we learned something today.
Yeah.
I learned a lot today.
I thought you were going to say the. I thought we were heading the other direction, but well, either way,
and
that's
it's
a long
interesting
way of
is
saying,
the city,
Mayor, you're right.
Well, yeah. you are correct, and it's interestingly the city code is different than what Robert's rules provides. So I apologize for the confusion,
no,
but
not a problem.
Now I know something.
So why don't we finish this, and then can somebody throw something at me or remind me to come back to that particular amendment? And I'm sure Commissioner Fritz would like to make a motion, but let's move forward on.
Okay, I think you are going to lose Commissioner Saltzman. So when
yeah,
you
if
River
we're
Place.
Moving to the River Place, I need to excuse myself.
That's a problem. Okay, so we'll Commissioner Fritz, we will now go back then to the question of the Vista, the Salmon Springs. That's 2A1 number 20, the view of Mount Hood from Salmon Springs, correct?
Yeah, so I probably know where this is going, but I move to keep the amendment on the table.
Is there a second for Commissioner Fritz?
That's what I thought. Fair enough. That's fine. Thank you.
Very good. River Place, Commissioner Saltzman.
Yeah, due to my family's ownership interests in properties that could be impacted by changes in height at River Place, I will recuse myself from this portion of council's discussion.
Very good. Thank you. Next up is River Place Amendments number 7, 10, and 12. Rachel, would you like to introduce this for us, please?
Sure, thank you. So there are three amendments related to River Place, and I'll describe these together, and these can be voted on together or separately, it's as you choose. So amendment number 7 is to create two height opportunity areas at River Place. The bonus height at these two areas that are in red on the PowerPoint slide, bonus height could go up to 325 feet. With that would be a requirement for narrower towers to preserve public views, light and air through the site. Other heights on the site are also proposed for increases in the middle area there to 250 bonus height and then 150 as you approach the river. Amendment number 10 is additional standards that would require additional spacing between buildings and building orientation. And again, this would allow for further visual permeability through the site. And then amendment number 12 adds River Place as a master plan site, which is a new tool for large redevelopment sites. Some of the things that will be reviewed will be open space, making sure that there's sufficient open space creation and placement, access to the river, infrastructure capacity, location of buildings, et cetera. I did want to point out with these three amendments, specifically amendment number 7 did receive the most testimony of any of the testimony we received. There was testimony both for and against. Some of the concerns related to the River Place amendment number 7 dealt with stepping down to the river, compatibility with surrounding neighborhoods, and transportation concerns and impacts with this increased density. And so with that, I had one additional slide that the PBOT transportation staff, in response to some of these concerns related to transportation impacts, PBOT staff conducted a high-level transportation planning analysis for the site to determine impacts to the regional system and local streets. And I do want to point out that the amendments that are on the table don't increase density. The amendments focus on height increases, but the height increases may allow for more FAR to be utilized on the site. However, we wanted to conduct the analysis considering the high number of units that are proposed through this concept. Approximately 2,400 units were part of the proposal. So some of the key findings of the transportation analysis, this number of additional households at River Place would not significantly affect traffic outside of the downtown area. The system would be able to absorb the new households, and there would not be an impact to ODOT facilities at the freeway on and off ramps.
Can I ask you a question on this?
Sure.
And please take this the right way, but when you say no significant traffic changes, if it's already a intersection that has failed, is it possible that this finding simply says that it's already a mess and therefore any further contribution to the mess is not significant?
That's a good question. I think that for the intersections, for the local streets, there are this level of increased traffic would further impact those intersections. So yes, if they're already failing, it could be problematic.
Well, I'll just point out that at rush hour, for example, you know, getting on and off there is very challenging. The traffic on I-5 is backed up forever. It's a very difficult right turn if you're heading west and then north because of the complications of getting on the bridge. The Better NATO additions that we make add additional challenges. So is there no significant traffic changes because it's hard to measure the incremental impact when we already have a failed system, at least at rush hour?
Mauricio Leclerc, Portland Bureau of Transportation. We did a high-level analysis. I cannot speak for every single leg of intersection. What we do is apply this additional growth on top of what it's in our model for 2035. What you see today is not exactly what's there in 2035. We have a number of projects that are added, extension of Bond, North Portal, you know. So what you see there now, it's a more, we'll see a more complete network in the future. We run the model. Not everybody drives. That's the advantage of living in the central city. You know, most of, there's streetcar, there's connectivity. So that reduces the number quite a bit of actual trips. Then during most of the day, it functions okay. During the peak, there's the congestion that you're talking about. But again, we're talking about a subset of a subset. It appears that the distribution of trips is important. Because it is congested, our model shows that the traffic comes from all over the place. So no single leg is getting overwhelmed. So in a way, that what we mean is that everything is getting a little bit more traffic, but in a way it's self-balancing because a lot of the traffic would come from NATO, from the north, some would come with the south, and largely works. You know,
just to make sure I understand this, Mauricio, so we're assuming that a number of people are simply going to walk from River Place to wherever they need to go downtown. We're assuming some people are going to walk a little bit south and get on the streetcar.
Yeah.
We're assuming future build-outs of public transportation in that area to deal with additional congestion?
Yeah, and there's a host of the TSP that you just adopted, you know, it has a number of projects in it for transit, for bicycle, for street connectivity, extension of Bond. All those things are supposed to be in place, and the property owner, the development pays into the system development charges that help pay for it. So the assumption is that there's will be more density, but at the same time, there will be a more robust transportation network to support that. Having said that, this is all based on assumptions, right? At this point, we assume, what happens if we throw in 2,300 more households? We do a cut for all the people who will not be driving, a further cut because we're only worried about the peak. And it turns out that, yes, there is an impact. However, we think that nothing will be significantly broken or that cannot be addressed at the time of a master plan or further analysis.
Commissioner Fritz?
We still don't have tens of millions for fixing the north, the south portal, right?
Yeah.
So this area was all planned, but that it was going to be all jobs and there'd be very few people living in there. And if they did live there, they'd be working in South Waterfront. What we're actually finding is it's mostly housing, as is proposed here. And people are leaving to go to Lake Oswego, to Beaverton, and they're not necessarily taking transit to do that. So, yes, there would be more system development charges from if this was approved, but we've still got a humongous gap, don't we?
I can only report what we have analyzed, and it seems like the impact was not a lot of traffic on the network. I can provide more technical information, but that's all I can say.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, colleagues,
I have a question for Rachel. You didn't give us any analysis on the step down to the river. Does it step down to the river?
So in this particular case, there is a bump up, certainly, from the transit mall. There is a bluff here. So from the transit mall to the river, there is a step down, but then we do have lower heights behind these proposed amendments, and then you would bump up. And then within this development, I'll go back to this slide here, within this development, the proposal is that the heights do step back down to the river within the development proposal.
But behind them, there's no proposed changes.
There were no proposed changes put forward as amendments for behind the development.
So, colleagues, I put this on the table, and I understand that these amendments were the discussion of substantial testimony, both in favor and in opposition. And my recollection was the testimony was primarily related to the height, as we've just discussed, the compatibility with the neighborhood, the stepping down to the river, and the increased congestion, which we've just discussed. And I personally support this. I think the 325-foot height seems appropriate to me as long as it protects public views. And it was crafted so as to do that. For example, the views of Mount St. Helens from Terwilliger. And there's also an explicit requirement for further public benefit, and that includes open space, access to the river, requirements to allow visual permeability through the site. And in addition, obviously, the increased height allows flexibility to gain much-needed affordable housing in the downtown core. And we've obviously heard the concerns about stepping down to the river and the compatibility of the surrounding river or the surrounding neighborhoods. So a core part of the amendment is the requirement for master planning, which must go through a public review process. So simply supporting this does not guarantee anything. It still must go through a comprehensive master planning process. And I do want to just acknowledge the transportation planning analysis. You know, it has been my overarching philosophy that height and I would also argue density, even though we've had sort of a separate conversation here, is most appropriate in the central city core, especially in areas where we have lots of public transit options. And this happens to be a site, though far from perfect, it certainly has far more public transit options than any other areas, many other areas in our city. And so for that reason, obviously, I supported putting these amendments on the table. I don't know if people have further thoughts before I call the question. I'm being told, call the question. Thank you, Carla.
Fritz?
This site doesn't even pretend to step down to the river, as we've just heard. I agree with Commissioner Fish that this transportation system is already super constrained and this would not help it, no.
Fish?
Yeah, I'm very skeptical of what we can do on the transportation side. The countervailing concern is that we can get a lot of affordable housing in this site at a time we desperately need it. And I don't know whether people invoked the South Waterfront last time as a cautionary tale or as a positive feature, but that's an area where we've got height and density and housing choices and a spectacular quality of life that is emerging. And So I'm deeply skeptical on this one, and without the mayor's companion amendments that require a master plan and a robust public process, I could not support this. But with those, I will. Aye.
You Daly.
I think I would have preferred that this go back to BPS for consideration, which is one of the suggestions that came up. I'm sorry, I should have asked this question before we called the question.
That's fine.
I guess
go ahead.
I haven't participated or really witnessed the process of a master plan. So that is something that's in the hands of the developer, correct?
Well, so the master plan is a new tool. We don't have a master plan tool that exists today like the one that is in Central City 2035. It is four large sites like this one. It's a full site development project that goes through design commission and the public review process, lays out all of the open space, location of buildings, uses within buildings, making sure, looking closely at the public realm, looking at infrastructure, making sure the infrastructure capacity is adequate. That includes not just transportation, but all of our other services, access to the river. And then we've added on top of that other regulations for this particular site to really look at within the development stepping down to the river as well as access to the river. The concept, and that's what led to these amendments, is we have a concept, and that concept showed 2 acres of open space that led to the riverfront. Will that happen? But what through the master plan process, there is a certain percentage of the site that will have to be open area, which will, as part of this future development, because of the proximity to South Waterfront Park, one of the requirements is that that open area connect to South Waterfront Park, so to ensure that that connection is happening.
And if I recall correctly, this is something that came up somewhat last minute in this process. So this isn't really the typical process we would go through. Is that?
With the recommended draft, testimony was received requesting increased heights as well as putting forward this concept. But yes, this did come forward during the recommended draft phase here with council.
After the Planning Commission?
After planning, that's correct, after planning commission.
And finally, if design review doesn't like it, we don't like it, the community doesn't like it, what's the recourse? The land use appeal or?
They apply again.
That's right. They would go through the process, work with certainly design commission if it's appealed to council, work with council. This is really just putting some base requirements on the site. It's setting the heights. It's setting it as a master plan site. It's setting certain standards that would need to be met based on the buildings. And after that, we allow the design commission to play that role with the applicant and through the public review process. But yes, after that, if there are a number of appeals, it could be appealed. It could be appealed to LUBA. I mean, that's.
I would really prefer that this go back to planning and we get their final say on it. I vote no.
I vote aye. The amendment fails. All right. So I really appreciate everybody being here today. Oh, sorry.
Oh, Pete.
Thank you.
And
Mayor.
Correct, a tie is a fail, correct? Correct. Okay. Yes.
Yes. One of the things that I wonder if you might want to consider is voting on a couple of these River Place items separately. Item C is to add River Place as a master plan site.
That's right. So it adds it as a master plan site. It is a very large key redevelopment site of 8 acres. That could make a lot of sense to have that go through a master plan process. The other thing I would add is that amendment number 12 is lumped in with not just adding River Place as a master plan site. It's several improvements to the central master plan itself.
So is your view that there's a public interest in having a master plan process that covers this regardless of whether we give the additional height and height bonus?
That's correct.
And for the reasons that you explained in your colloquy with Commissioner Udaly about a public process and a chance for ultimately us to be the backstop.
That's correct.
I so move.
Second.
We have a motion and second to add item C. Unless there is an objection, Commissioner Udaly, I'd also like to add item 12. Those are improvements to the master plan. It is included.
Yes,
10
and
12.
Okay.
10 and 12.
Got it. Thank you.
12. So you want the
10 and 12.
So you want the special tower orientation standards, even though the height isn't changed?
There is some value in maintaining the tower spacing, and that includes regulations of building wall length.
Yeah.
That could also still be valuable. As part of the master plan process. Yeah. They're separate standards, but there could be value in maintaining those without the height, the increased height.
Could you remind me, I know that both the Design Commission and the Landmarks Commission urged us not to do the amendment, so I particularly appreciate that you responded to their concerns, Commissioner. Did they support the tower orientation standards and adding it as a master plan?
They were silent on those. I think that the main comments from Design and Landmarks Commission were, I will say that the tower orientation standards are used in South Waterfront. That's the only place we use them. And so they did comment on if South Waterfront standards were the right ones to apply at this location.
Oh, so is that what this amendment would just apply, the South Waterfront ones?
For tower orientation.
Then I don't support that. I don't think that that's worked out the way I was hoping it would. I would hope we would just do the master plan site, and as part of that, they would have the discussion about the design standards.
They could have that discussion, and so what would happen is approving it as a master plan site, then what happens with heights is it's the heights that are in the recommended draft, and those heights are 200 feet and then 150 feet as you approach the river.
And then the tower design would be up to the Design Commission.
That's correct.
So should we vote on 12 then?
Yeah.
All right, call the roll.
Fritz.
Good catch. Thank you for reminding us to finish up our work here today. Aye.
Fish.
Is this our last vote?
This is it.
So, good catch. Thank you for walking us through what is a very complicated process, but with the cheat sheet and the commentary, you make it much easier, and I don't think you ever get enough credit for the staff work in helping us work through these very important issues. Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Thank you. We're adjourned.
Oh, Mayor?
So we'll be back on...
So we've agreed... So are the two issues that I raised earlier just going to be kicked over to the next hearing?
Yes, we'll talk about those on March 9th.
Thank you very
much. 15th.
You know, I'm really sorry. I've got to run upstairs. What do I do?